Start moving around, please. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, open to John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12. Sure is good to see Brother Roby and Miss Trish back this morning. What a blessing. Brother Roby had a hard time, lost his loss of his loved one there and his family, and then the physical problem. It's good to see him back. I worry about him not eating when he's not here. Amen. And it's good to see all of you here. Maybe you're visiting for the first time, second time, whatever. We're glad that you're here this morning. John chapter number 12. I'm sorry, we're going to use another verse here. John, in the book of John somewhere, I wrote it wrong. I want that verse right near there as it said, "Sir, we'd see Jesus." Somebody get it for me right quick. I'm going to bring you a message this morning. What you got? What 21? Chapter 21? 12:21. I'm sorry. I had it wrote back. John 12:21. John chapter 12, verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." This man came to the Lord one time, and we'll use that verse this morning. And we would, that means we want to. We want to see Jesus. "Sir, we would see Jesus." He came to these guys one time and he said, "Oh, are you here to see the Pharisees?" "No." "Are you here to see the Sadducees?" "No." "Are you here to see the high priest?" "No." "Well, sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." Now, I want to preach this morning on the subject, the man we want to see. The man we want to see. I'm sure this morning that you come to church with the desire to see Jesus. Oh, I'm not talking about seeing Him with our natural eyes. I mean, the Lord's not going to walk in here this morning and sit down right here where we can see Him with our natural eyes. But by faith, we want to come this morning and see the Lord. That's what I want to talk about today. Sirs, we'd see Jesus. The man that we want to see. And please understand what I'm saying. We want to see Him by faith in our hearts and in our minds. Have you ever been to church when it just got real good and just for a minute you look past the preacher, past the choir, and in your mind you could just see the Lord sitting on his throne? How many has that ever happened to? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. I never forget sitting at the Nebo camp meeting. I'd been saved about 3 months, April, May, June, July, about 3 months. And I was sitting up there and they'd have a preacher preach. I remember Larry Winkler from Lenore getting up there preaching. And I remember, and I was sitting there just like you are. And the preacher was up preaching, and I was sitting up there, and boy, he is just throwing down, buddy. I mean, he is a preaching, glorifying the Lord, and exalting the Lord, and exalting the Lord. And it kept getting better, and better, and better, and better. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting there listening, and it was like you sort of forget about where you are. You forget. You don't see Him no more, and you see the Lord. Has that ever happened to anybody in here besides me? That's happened to me a bunch of times. I'm telling you, He's the man we want to see. One glimpse of His dear face will help you more than all your religious training's ever done you in your whole life. And I'm going to tell you, brother, when we come to church on Sunday morning, He ought to be the one that we want to see. If an old preacher said it like this one time. He said, when a man goes away talking about what a great sermon I preached, he said, I'm not too thrilled about it. But when a man goes away talking about Jesus, he said, I've done my job. I mean, if you walk away from here impressed with me, which I'm sure you probably won't, you've missed the whole point this morning. I hope when you walk out that door this morning, you're going to be thinking, man, isn't Jesus good? Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good to know the Lord? I hope today that you won't be saying, well, old Danny's all right for an old man. I hope you're saying, well, that choir was good. I hope you won't be saying that. I hope you won't be saying, wow, what a beautiful sanctuary. You won't be saying that. I hope you'll be saying, glory to God, Jesus, sure is good. That's why you go to church. That's why you go to church. You don't go to church. Some churches ain't nothing but a fashion show, you know. They walk in and say, well, I know where she got that. Sears had on sale last week. And I seen them over in Cato's. And I seen them shoes she's got on at the yard sale. And I seen them. You know, that's not why we come to church. Brother, brethren, we have met to worship. We come to church to worship the Lord. We come to church to see Him. That's higher than all. Amen. Now I want to talk about this morning, the man that we want to see. I hope and pray today the Lord will let you see Him. I hope that you'll see more than me. I hope today that you'll see beyond me, past me. I've been in a many of services where it just like all of a sudden the atmosphere changed and it got foggy in there and everybody else faded like a camera. You ever seen a camera on TV and it focuses on this person here and they're all fuzzy? And then all of a sudden it focuses on them and he gets fuzzy. You ever seen that doing? They do that with them lens. That's the way I hope it is this morning. Right now, you're focused on me. I hope by the time I get through that I get fuzzy and he comes in clear. Amen. That you can see the Lord. Whoa! I went to church and I felt the Lord. I seen His presence. That's what makes church worth going to. I wouldn't waste my life in a dead, dried up church where you could never see or feel the Lord's presence. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And I'm telling you this morning, if you get a glimpse of Him, it'll be worth your trip here today. I want to say three or four things about it this morning. And the first thing I want to say is He's the man we want to see when we're burdened with sin. He's the man we want to see when we're burdened with sin. You got a heavy sin on you this morning? Has sin got you down? Have you failed so many times you're miserable? Have you keep falling over and over and over into the same old trap? Does you feel like sin's bigger than you are? Do you feel like you can't handle it? Do you feel like you just can't go on? Do you feel like this morning there ain't no use of me trying? Every time I try, I fall again. Do you feel like that this morning? I'm telling you, He's the man you want to see when you're burdened with sin. All the way through the Bible. David over there in Psalm 51, when David committed that awful sin of murder and adultery, had the man killed, all that stuff David went through. You know what David did? David come to the Lord in Psalm 51, and he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of Thy salvation. Don't take Your Spirit from me. Lord, I want You. Lord, I want You. If you're burdened down with sin this morning, you're at the right place. Come and see Him. I know a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people and I say, won't you come to church? And they'll say, I can't come to church. I'm living like the devil. And I say, you're the very person we're looking for. You're the one God wants to come to church. If you could, that's like, if you could straighten up and then come to church, that'd be like a man saying, I'm going to wait till I get better and then go to the doctor. It wouldn't be no use to go to the doctor then. If you could quit sinning by yourself, wouldn't be no reason to come to the Lord. But when you're burdened with sin, brother, He's the one you want to come and see. Amen. The man on death row this morning needs to see Jesus. The man over there at the hospital in Grace Hospital this morning dying, that needs to see Jesus. That family this morning that's standing around the body of a loved one that they'll never see again in this life and they'll never lay eyes on them again, they need to look to the Lord and see Him. When we're burdened with sin, we need to see the Lord. I'll tell you what, brother, I remember when I first got saved, I remember singing that song. It said this, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight and now I'm happy all the day. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I'll never forget the night I got saved. Ain't enough devils in hell argue me out of what happened to me that night. I was 18 years old, standing back here on this side of the church, on about the second one over, and I was standing about right in here, and God got a hold of my heart, and people started going to the altar. My heart thought I was going to bust out of my chest. Everything my mom told me when I was little come back to my mind. I began to think about growing up. I began to think about heaven and hell. I when I first got there, yeah, what's he doing here? Yeah, all of a sudden you couldn't even see them people. It was everywhere you could see the Lord. And this girl turned around, she was in front of me. She went to school with me. She said, Danny, I said, why don't you go up there and get saved? And I said, no, it ain't my time to get saved. I told her, leave me alone. I didn't know what to say. I was about to die. Have you ever been there? I remember thinking, oh Lord, what am I going to do? I remember thinking they're just staring at me because my hair is long. I had an old pair of blue jeans. I had a flag, American Christian flag, sewed on them down there. And boy, I was standing there and I was miserable. And the next thing I know, boy, I was about to bust out of that seat. And I began to think, and the devil got on me and he said, all these people will stare at you if you go down there. And the Lord got on the other shoulder and said, yeah, what good is that going to do if you're burning in hell one of these days? It won't matter what they think. And then the devil said, you better not go up there in front of all these people now and make a fool out of yourself. And the Lord said, you want to die and go to hell, or you want to help and come to me and let me save you? And it was just like, you know, you've seen in cartoons, we got a little demon on one side, a little angel on the, that's the way it was. And boy, they was pulling on me, and about that time something broke loose, and I punched my cousin, and I said, let's go, get me out of here. And he moved, and I moved, and down the aisle I came. I didn't see the preacher, I didn't see the deacons, I didn't see, I'm telling you, I bawled like a baby on my face for about 45 minutes, and when I got up, one old song says, he washed my eyes with tears that I could see. And that night, I saw the Lord, people. I'm telling you, from that day to this, from that day to this, through many dangers, toils, and snares, through all the ups and downs and problems of life and family and problems and burdens and sin, I have never forgot what it's like to get a good glimpse of Him. That's the man you want to see today. Somebody said, well, I believe I'll go over there and hear old Danny preach. You're going to be disappointed. I ain't that good. I ain't fit for you to look at. But I sure am pointing you to one that says somebody worth looking at this morning. Amen. He's worth coming, getting up and getting ready and coming to see. He's worth putting on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. He's worth carrying that Bible in the house of God. He's worth it. Come and see Him this morning. Amen. What a blessing. I'm telling you, we come when we're burdened with sin. Are you burdened with sin this morning? Come and look at Him. He's your answer. We have a tendency to run from the Lord when we sin. That's human nature. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the Bible? You know what they did? They didn't go run and say, Lord, where you at? Help us. They hid. They hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. That's why a lot of people ain't here this morning. They're trying to hide. But you don't need... That's like saying, I'm sick and I'm dying, but don't let no doctor find me. I don't want to go to the doctor. Man, you're going to be looking for a doctor if you ain't sin. And that's the way you are when you sin. You run to the Lord. You don't stay out of church. You live in the church. I've had people tell me, they said, Brother Danny, I believe I could live right if you just let me live here in the church. You know, because every Sunday they come and get cleaned up, and everything in the world will go out there and get muddied up. Then they come back, and I said, well, I don't think you can live here, but I understand what they're saying. They say, as long as I'm here in this atmosphere and see the Lord and get my heart right and think straight and get my priorities right, and that's true. We come to Him when we're burdened with sin. But let me say secondly this morning, the man we want to see when we come to worship. The man we want to see when we come to worship. The deadest, dullest, most boring thing in the world, besides a Lamaze class or golf, is a church service watching golf on TV. I know some of you fellas play golf, and that's pretty bad, but watching it. And so we see, and there he goes. Why do they whisper like that? And here's one. He's on the... And then they all go... And he's knocking it around, 4 or 5 times, trying to get it in the hole. Let me tell you something more boring than that. A dead church service where you can't see the Lord. The deadest, driest, most boring thing in the whole world is church when you can't see the Lord. Lord have mercy, I don't see how people stand it. Somebody's telling me about yesterday. They said, now you know old so-and-so. They said, Danny, they've been to that church for years and years and years, and it's dead, and nobody ever gets saved. But Grandma always went there, and Grandpa always went there, and Great-Grandma's buried out there in the yard, and that she'll come back and haunt them, boy, if they went somewhere else. And I don't think people ought to just be a church hopper, but I'm going to tell you something, brother. Life is too short to sit around in a dead, dried-up church where you can't feel the Lord and see the Lord. Amen? We ought to see the Lord when we come to worship. Oh, Lord have mercy. Ain't no wonder people don't go on Sunday night. It ain't no wonder. I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. It's the deadest thing in the world. Many times I've seen Pastor Preacher and seen the Lord. I saw him over there at Bethel Free Will Baptist Church one night. We'd been out witnessing all day, and I hadn't been saved in just a few months. And I remember one night they got to singing, And I tell you what, buddy, I lost it. I'm telling you, I lost. I forgot. I was sitting right in here in a big crowd of people, and I thought if I didn't get out of that seat, I was going to die. And I remember saying, excuse me. I mean, I went out of there, and I was crying. And I got out in the aisle and waved up my hands like that. I didn't care if everybody in the world was there looking at me. And that's the way it is. When you really get a good glimpse of the Lord, you don't care who's looking. You don't care what so-and-so thinks. Who gives a hoot, brother? If they had any sense, they'd be in on it too. Amen. I'm telling you, we want to see Jesus when we come to worship. I tell you, I've been in many times in camp meetings, in youth camp. It got good over at youth camp that Friday night. Buddy, we seen the Lord that Friday night. I mean, it was good all week, but that Friday night, boy, we got a little glimpse of Him. And you know what? One glimpse of Jesus Christ in a church service can change young people's hearts quicker and better than any. You know, I know churches that we make a bunch of rules. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. You have to have your hair cut and all that stuff's good, and I'm in favor of all of that. But that does not change a person's heart. What changes a person's heart is when all of a sudden during the service, you look past the preacher, look past the choir, and you get a glimpse of the Lord in His holiness, in His power, sitting on the throne. And you say, oh God, I'm sorry for what I've done. Help me live right. I'm telling you, we want to see Him when we come to worship. I've heard people, I've been to churches where it was almost like a performance. And the choir, or the special would sing and say, oh, how I love Him. I so adore Him. God, man, shut up. I mean, you think, Lord, I'm not trying to be ugly or nothing, but, you know, are you trying to sing for the Lord, or are you just showing off your voice? I've been to churches before. I mean, where everybody, and it's just awful. It's just awful. And it wouldn't hurt us to have just a little bit of culture. I mean, we probably overboard the other way. But I'm telling you, we ain't no danger going too far on the classy side. That's for sure. We're a bit too much redneck. But somewhere right in here in the middle, buddy, if you'll worship God in spirit and in truth, I'll tell you, that's why I like choir singing. I love quartets. I love trios, and I love solos and stuff like that. But my favorite singing in all the world is choir singing. You can't beat a good Holy Ghost filled choir singing their part. And all. I'm telling you, brother, it'll rapture your soul up. I'm telling you something. They ain't nothing like it. We ought to see Him when we come to worship. Never, ever. I'll never forget. I've been over at Nebo Baptist camp meeting when people were shouting all over the place. I seen boys down out there in the rain praying. Down in the rain, just pouring the rain. They're out there saying, oh God, help me. Didn't even realize it was raining. I've seen people shout around out in the woods. I've seen them shout. We was up there in Kentucky one time, and they was out shouting almost in the highway. I'm talking about, I was afraid somebody going to get run over. They're out there, glory to God. Woo! I went a car right by like that. I said, get on over this way. But you can't tell nobody nothing when they're in shape like that. I tell you, I've seen one of the best services I've ever been in my life was in my living room at my house. Some of y'all were there that night. The power of God fell. We was having a birthday party for a young boy, and the power of God moved in there. We looked past the cake, and we looked past the Pepsis, and we looked past the potato chips, and you could see the Lord. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. The man we want to see. You didn't come to church this morning to see Danny. If you did, you're going to get disappointed. I can't be everything that you want me to be. I can't do it. It's impossible. You can't be everything I want you to be. Some of y'all let me down this morning. Some of you are late. Some of you ain't here. All of you are here. Some of them ain't here. They've disappointed. I'm preaching to all you that ain't here right now, bless God. I'm hoping you'll get right. And I want to tell you something, brother. Listen, you'll be old one day, and I'll sit back there and laugh at you trying to preach. But I'm telling you, brother, when we come to worship, we come to see Him. It ain't worth getting up and driving as high as gas is just to come to church and hear a choir sing and watch a preacher preach. Get a glimpse of His dear face. Get a glimpse of the Lord. It'll help you this morning. We would see Jesus when we come to worship. Number three, we want to see Him when we walk in our daily lives. You know what people want to see? People don't want to hear a sermon, they want to see one. Amen? They don't want to see you tell them you're a Christian, they want to see you be a Christian. They want to see Him. I've heard people say, I saw Jesus. Best compliment anybody can ever give you is say, I saw Jesus in you. Now, I've had people tell me crazy stuff like that before. I've had people tell me lots of times. They said, Manny, when you was up preaching, it was like a glow around your head. And I don't know about all that kind of stuff. I doubt that, really. I think it's been smoking something the night before or something. They might have saw a glow, but it was, I don't know what it was. But listen, the best compliment anybody can ever tell you is, I see Jesus in you. I've seen Jesus in people. That's one thing I love about Miss Kerr, you know. She's my prayer warrior buddy. Anytime I got a real heavy burden of prayer, I call Miss Kerr. And when she comes, you can just see Jesus on her. You can see Jesus. There's many of you that I've seen Jesus in. We need to see Him in our daily lives. Number four, we need to see Jesus when we have sorrows and shadows. The sisters in Bethany lost their brother. Mary and Martha, in the Bible, their brother Lazarus died. And you know who they sent for? The scribes, the Pharisees? No. The Bible said they sent for Jesus. They knew who to look for when your heart's broken. Brother, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus this morning. I'll guarantee you there's somebody sitting here this morning with a heart that's broke. I guarantee you there's somebody sitting here this morning that you don't know if you're going to make it another week in your marriage. I'll guarantee you there's somebody sitting here this morning thinking, I might get fired and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this week. I'll guarantee you there's somebody sitting here this morning saying, I wish things was different in my life. I'm so miserable. I'm lonely. Why don't God send me a husband? Why don't God send me a mate? I'll guarantee you there's somebody like that. And you just don't think you can go on. Let me tell you what to do when you're like that. See Him. I read about them shepherd and them sheep and them a real shepherd, real sheep. Over yonder in the land of Palestine, all them places where they keep sheep. And I studied that, and you know, Jesus said, hey, they'll hear the shepherd's voice and another they'll not follow. And boy, them sheep's down there on that down that hillside, and all of a sudden, they look to that shepherd. Them sheep look to that shepherd. They keep their eyes on that shepherd. That shepherd's always standing up there on the hill, and he's got his rod. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he's standing up there on the hill with his rod like this. And they said sometimes a jackrabbit will jump up, and that jackrabbit will jump up like that, and this sheep will get scared, and that sheep will get scared, and that sheep will get scared, and the whole flock of sheep will panic. And they'll just start running. Most of them don't even know what they're running from. Well, I heard this. What's that? Oh, no, it's a monster. Oh, they're all going to get eaten. And sheep panic. They just panic. They go crazy. And they all just running over each other and trampling each other and everything. And, brother, that's like a church. You know, sometimes an old jackrabbit will jump up in a church. I know of one this morning that's having problems right now. You pray for them. It's serious right now, the problem this church is going through right now. And boy, some old jackrabbit jumped up. They had two or three. And panicked the whole flock. And boy, I tell you what, when them sheep look up there, and all of a sudden that shepherd stands up, and he holds up that rod and that staff like that, when them sheep see that shepherd, they say, everything's all right. There's the shepherd. He'll take care of us. And then they calm down. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, what a church needs when we're going through burdens, what a Christian needs when we're going through trials, when you're all tore up and you don't know what to do. Hallelujah, brother. Just look to Him. Look to Him. Sirs, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. You can't make it through life like you ought to if you don't look to the Lord. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. When I went and preached my sister's funeral, she died with cancer at 40 years of age. She is my oldest sister, and I got one between us, me and Sandy. There was 3 years difference between me and her, and one between me and my other sister. And I saw her laying there in that casket. There's only one way you can deal with something like that and be strong. I remembered what Sandy said. She wrote one of the best poems you ever read. And I remember reading that poem and hearing what she said and talking to him. Before she got real sick, she said, now, Danny, I want you to preach my funeral. And she said, I want you to do this. And I want you to watch after my boys, Wesley and Wade. And she said, I want you to talk to them. And she was all planning. There's only one way you can face something like that. I said, Lord, she's soon going to be with you and she'll never hurt again. She used to run in these races, these marathons. She wasn't ever sick. I don't ever remember being sick ever. She played the piano, led the youth choir. She could do anything. Draw, dance, write, talk. I mean, everything. And I'm telling you something, brother. When she died, my mom went running through the house screaming. It was on the 4th of July. And it keeps making me think of a song. I know some of y'all probably think this song ain't really a Southern gospel song, but I'm telling you, I don't know who wrote it or who sings it, but I hear it on the radio. And it's a little song, a man singing with a guitar, and it says, Give Me Jesus. Y'all heard that song? And when I'm time to die, and when it's time to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Whew. Lord, I heard that. I thought, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's all that matters when it comes time to die. Don't matter what kind of house you live in. It don't matter how nice a car you drive. Brother, when it comes time to die, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. When it's time to die or whatever, something like that. Give me Jesus. He's the man we want to see when it's time to die. We're hearing about that atheist. And this little boy was dying. And he'd been taught all his life there wasn't no God. And his aunt come in there and she said, Son, it's going to be all right now. You just hold on. Just hold on. He said, Mom, Aunt, I'm scared. And then a minute his uncle come in. He said, Uncle, I'm scared to die. I don't want to die. And his uncle said, Son, you just hold on. Just hold on. It's going to be all right. You don't have to worry. Just hold on. He said, I'm scared. And the minute his mama come in, he grabbed her hand. He said, Mama, I'm scared. He said, I'm dying. I don't know what to expect. I'm scared to die. She said, Son, they ain't. Hold on now. Hold on. And he screamed. He said, Mama, my uncle told me to hold on. Mama, my aunt told me to hold on. Mama, everybody tells me to hold on. But Mama, what am I going to hold on to? Man that don't have Jesus ain't got nothing to hold on to. What are you going to hold on to? Your checkbook? If that's what you live for? What are you going to hold on to? Your bank statement? Brother, when it comes time to die, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. Last thing I'll say this morning, the man we want to see, I want to see him when he comes back. Old song says, oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. There's coming a day when those sorrows shall come. All them songs, they're going to be a reality. You believe this? One of these days, people, we're going to see it. Not just in our mind and our heart like we're seeing him this morning. We're going to see him. We're really going to see Jesus. I heard this story. I read it in a book. It said this little old boy was real poor. And he's real poor. And every day he'd go downtown and he'd look at the toys, go to the toy store and look through the glass and see the toys in there. And he'd stand down there and look at them, how beautiful them little toys. He thought, boy, I'd give anything just to have one of them toys. And it wasn't long after that he got sick, real bad off, and he was dying in the hospital. And when he did, his nurse found out about it and went downtown and bought some of them toys and brought him them toys. And handed them toys. And that little boy said, what? She said, these are yours. He said, them's the ones I go look at downtown. She said, here, these are yours. You can touch them. You can play with them. And he said, there ain't no glass between. No glass between. I've never seen a toy where there wasn't glass between. I can touch them. I can be with them. And I'm going to tell you something. All these years down here, the Bible says we see them through a glass, darkly. And when we come to church on Sunday morning, we can just sort of little glimpse. But I'm going to tell you, brother, one of these days, there ain't going to be no glass between us. Hallelujah! And we're going to see Him. We're going to see the Lord. Hang in there, Christian. Hang in there. You hang in there. This thing ain't over yet. Every one of us here this morning ought to just rededicate our life to the Lord. I'm going to get down here this morning and rededicate my life to the Lord. And say, He's the man I want to see. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head.